We're now going to hear our reading today, which Alan's going to read for us. Thank you.
Galatians chapter 1, verses 11 to 24. I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that the gospel I preached is not of human origin. It did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my previous way of life in Judaism, how intensely I persecuted the Church of God and tried to destroy it. I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my own age among my people and was extremely zealous for the traditions of my fathers. But when God, who set me apart from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his son in me so that I might preach him among the Gentiles, my immediate response was not to consult any human being. I did not go to Jerusalem to see those who were apostles before I was, but I went into Arabia, and later I returned to Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to get acquainted with Cephas and stayed with him for 15 days. I saw none of the other apostles, only James, the Lord's brother. I assure you before God that what I'm writing to you is no lie. Then I went to Syria and Cilicia and was personally unknown to the churches of Judea that are in Christ. They only heard the report. The man who formerly persecuted us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy. And they praised God because of me. Amen.
Thanks very much, Alan. Let's pray, shall we? Lord, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for the way that you bring comfort to us through it. That, Lord, through it we can know your peace. Lord, through it we can grow to know you. And we pray, Holy Spirit, as we reflect together on your word today, help us to hear what you have to say to us and grow us in trust with you. In Jesus' name, amen. This is the second week of our look at Galatians, an amazing letter that Paul wrote to his friends. We'll come to that bit a bit later, Penny, if we can just take it off the screen. Thank you. That's lovely. Basically, this is I'm not going to play the next bit of the video yet until next week, which will give us a bit of a recap. But Paul was writing his letter to his friends who'd taken on all sorts of extra baggage from the Jewish rules, laws that they'd had, and they had many and still have many laws in Judaism. And Paul was basically saying, you don't need to follow that. And that's, we're going to be sort of exploring what Paul's saying about that through his story today. His story was amazing, wasn't it? He was a strict Jew, previously known as Saul. He knew his religion really well, and he was dead against the growing number of people who were saying that they followed Jesus of Nazareth, so much so that he persecuted them. And he was a man of tradition and did his best to deal with those who said that they followed the Nazarene, Jesus. He even used murderous threats against them. But little did he know or realize at that time that even at the moment that he was being fearfully and wonderfully made, he had been set aside for God for a special job. It all started, didn't it, with a blinding flash of light and a conversation with Jesus. So clear was Paul's calling from God that he didn't go to Jerusalem to have it confirmed by the other disciples. Instead, he went to Arabia, telling people about Jesus and later returning to Damascus. It was only after 3 years that he headed up to Jerusalem to meet Peter and James. Cephas is also Peter, same person. But why did Paul share his story to his friends in Galatia in this way? Remember, he was writing to convince his friends that they didn't need to follow the Jewish laws. He didn't need to ask others if he could share the message that he'd got from God himself. Paul needed to point that out to the Galatians who'd been duped into feeling that they needed to adopt the Jewish ways. Meeting Jesus on the road to Damascus had been a moment for Paul's transformation. We come to know Jesus in so many different ways, and God will use our stories to tell his story and help people recognize him in their stories too. Like Paul, we have a story. All are different and unique in so many different ways. All are similar in that there's some kind of transformation that needs to happen. If we're to become a new creation in Christ, there has to be a change in us. Paul told the Corinthians, "If anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here." For him, it happened in a flash. How did it happen for you? Has it happened for you? Many of us will recognize a transforming moment of some sort, no matter if it was gradual or a blinding flash. Perhaps it was a moment where we realized for the first time, yes, Jesus, you are really real. Believing in Jesus isn't meant to be a given. It's a choice. Perhaps infant baptism masks that moment for some, as for good reasons, there's a sense of belonging right from the earliest moment in life. But there has to be some moment where we move from belonging to believing, though. A memory of an experience of some kinds, a meaningful rite of passage. That conversion moment, an aha moment where Jesus becomes real, not merely a historical character. The word transformation is really good because it doesn't mean we just accept or experience or feel God's realness. Along with the realization comes change. Now, I'm not saying that we all change immediately into faith-filled disciples, and not all have the same faith as Paul when we start serving and becoming part of the church. But the beauty of the church, however, is that we all have different experiences, likes and callings, and none is better or less important than another. What we notice with the yes is a change, a movement away from our old ways towards the way, towards Jesus. And that doesn't mean that we won't still slip up. Look at Peter, for example. If you ever wanted a guarantee of God's ongoing forgiveness, look to him. Another sign of transformation is change in priorities. The things that were central to our lives before we came to know Jesus no longer matter. And the things that were unimportant become central to our lives. That shift makes people curious. It might not make sense, though it draws people to often ask questions. And so, what is your story? What was your BC or before Christ life like? I didn't get that. I heard it from someone else, but I like it. What was or were the transforming moments or moment for you? Have you had any? What change did that transformation bring? What is your story? Did you notice that Paul hadn't told his whole story in his letter to the Galatians? And so when I was preparing this, I was busy trying to sort of backfill the whole bit of what had happened But then I realized, actually, that's not relevant to what we're saying today when we're exploring this scripture. He told his story for an angle, for a purpose. How might you tell your story to someone you've never met? And how would that story change when speaking with another Christian? What about a Muslim or somebody from another faith? What about with a child? Now, I know I've shared this story before, so bear with me if you've heard it before. But I remember when Shri and I were first engaged to be married, when I took Shri to go and meet my gran. I believed in God, as far as I could remember, I would say I had faith. I'd say that faith was more about keeping rules and about Christingles that I went to when I was very young with my mum. But I still had faith. And the thing was, I do remember going to my gran's with Shri, and we'd speak to each other going down in the car. It was probably quite good to do that, actually, but we definitely did. And we were saying about how the God moment would happen, that gran would spend some time, usually about half an hour, talking to us about Jesus. And we just, the way we looked at it was, well, we just got to get that bit over and done with. It's not going to be painful. And so we'll just keep going. Now, Shri and I, later on, but still before we got married, decided to follow Jesus. And that happened when we were given free tickets to go to Spring Harvest by the church. Extravagant love. What might have happened if that had never happened? The thing was, we went there, and I remember we were in separate chalets, and I was staying with one group of people. Shri was staying with another, thankfully not with the vicar who Shri was with. So I was pleased I was with some others. And I ended up sitting inside the chalet one evening at about 11:30. I remember the position I was sitting in. It was against a pillar like this, sort of, it was right next to a door. And as we were talking, I remember the vicar saying to me, "Paul, it's not that you're going into a country and you therefore know that you're necessarily a Christian." He said, "The thing is, you can wander backwards and forwards in the country and back out of the country of belief many times." He said, "You don't have to have your visa stamped, and you may not have that moment where you realize your visa was stamped. You may not have that blinding flash of light." And for me, that is the moment that I would say I recognize the first time that there was a change. So how was that change then seen? Well, when we went to my gran's, no longer did we want to get the half an hour God bit done, but we engaged in the conversation and we're excited to talk about Jesus. That's where I could see that transformation had happened in my heart. It was an excitement. Paul speaks about his life before knowing Jesus, that moment of transformation to a relationship with Jesus, and then to his current calling. And likewise, we have stories, and they're there to help others grow in faith. Your stories can be used by God to help people grow in faith too. If we're open to God, he will send people to us that need to hear our stories and help them in their faith. But I'm sure many of us may be thinking, it's just not the done thing, talking about myself. People will avoid me if I talk about Jesus. I can't possibly speak about me. Nobody wants to hear. I might make myself vulnerable to people who then won't want to know me. Here's the truth. Everyone likes a story. When I take funerals and speak about someone's life, the families so frequently come to me afterwards and say, "Thank you so much. I didn't know that about my mum. I didn't know that about my sister or my husband." When I speak to people or their families afterwards, and they tell me the stories that people hear, they tell me how much they love them. They're not thanking me. They're thanking the fact that they've heard that story. Of course, they think they are, but it's really the fact that we found some more out. And so from that, here's just a bit of advice. Don't make your story one that people only hear in your funeral. Don't make your story one that people only hear in your funeral. They are so precious, and they'll help your family and your friends know the Lord. If you're bold, even the people that you don't know will come to know Jesus through your story too. So, how can you start? Sometimes we're called to just share from the top of our heads. But it's also good to reflect with God on our stories and allow him to draw out stuff in our heads and our hearts. One writer puts it this way: you can explore your story in a number of angles. If we can have that bit on the screen, please, Penny, that'd be great. Thank you. So, there are four key angles that he says. Firstly, your past and how it prepared you for your current calling. Secondly, the angle of your own journey with Jesus and growth in faith. Thirdly, the angle of moments you've met with the Holy Spirit. Or fourthly, the angle of key changes that have been made and that have made big impacts on your life. And from all of those, it's important to focus the story in a way that it focuses on our encounter with Jesus, because that will also stand out. And that's where people will see the transformation that's happening in you. It may not be a moment of blinding flash of light. It might just be a gentle step along the road. And in fact, gentle steps quite often are ones that encourage others. Blinding flashes of light wow people, don't they? Wow, that's incredible. That couldn't possibly happen to me. Somebody shared this morning how they'd been brought to faith by somebody called Paul Walker, not me. And, you know, that was just, you know, Paul Walker, that's irrelevant really, isn't it? But the thing is that for me, it really just encouraged me. It was just one of those moments where God's weaving his, the sort of very gentle line of thread through mine and other people's lives and bringing us together to that moment. Because my friend this morning had faith to share it with us. And so, what is your story? We're going to pray in just one moment and ask God's Holy Spirit to speak to us about the story and how we came to know Jesus. And then as we're going to do that just quietly without talking. And I'm just going to ask if maybe Sue, if you could play something quietly on the piano for us. And then we'll reflect together on that. And then I'll come back in one second. So the thing to do is just to think about your story with God and ask the Holy Spirit to just speak to you about what is important for you to hear today. Let's do that. And so our talk's going to finish a bit differently today. Quite often what happens with a talk is I pray about it, I think about it, I write some notes down, then I come and preach it, and then I preach something different because God says something different at the time. What's really great is that you hear different things than I say. So I might say five things, and you might hear one particular thing, and then God might speak specifically about an experience that you've had into that. And that's your part of the whole talk experience in how God speaks to you, and an essential part in that. But this time, we're going to go just a little bit further, and I'm going to encourage us to now share that story that the Lord has been speaking to you about. From an angle that you feel right at the moment might be best, that I'm sure the Lord has always already placed on your hearts. And that will be how the talk finishes today, as you hear from somebody else, and God speaks to you through that. Now, it could be that if what you've been thinking about is deeply personal and something that you don't feel ready to share, then please don't share that right now. Though please do feel free to have a chat, and in fact, I'd encourage you to have a chat with me or somebody else that you trust about that, because God would have prompted you to have thought about that this morning. But I know you also might feel that this is either easy or maybe a little bit challenging, but we're amongst friends, aren't we, this morning? And it's good to share how God is working in our lives. And if we're willing to gently open out into that area, then I'm sure God will bless that and give us other opportunities to do that too in the communities that we serve during the week. So let's do that now. Do that together, find someone near you. I should have made that clear. Not expecting everyone to come up to the microphone. That might take a little bit long this morning. But do share together that story. Okay, with somebody else. Just 1 minute more. So, how did bringing it together. It'd be good to maybe continue sharing over coffee, if you like. I mean, this is, as always, as church, this is a safe place to do stuff that God calls us to do outside. And so, you know, we know if we slip up and we get things wrong here, you know, we know we're amongst friends. So, you know, and so do continue to share stories. And you know, be willing to pray for and with one another, because it's what we're called to do, isn't it? And I hope that's really helped today. And God might not necessarily have spoken immediately into a situation for you. You might find this week, next week, 6 weeks, that something that's been shared this morning really strikes you, and God speaks about that. I firmly believe that God always makes use of any step of faith that we have. So, let's continue to just maybe finish by praying into that. Holy Spirit, we thank you so much for the things that have been shared with us. We thank you for people's stories, for the story that we have. First and foremost, Lord, for your story, which is part of our story since we've said yes to you. And Lord, we pray that as we share out of faith, that you would speak to those that we meet, as we see them transformed. May you continue your transformation that's going on in our hearts. Help us with them and with each other to take each step as a step of faith, knowing, Lord, that you will provide so much more than we can possibly imagine in the power of your Spirit. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.